Welcome, everybody. Let me help you envision, explore, and execute your plans. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda. It's time, everybody, to kick that people-pleasing habit. Let Laura Young teach you how. Before we get started today, I just want to make sure you know you can go to motivatemepodcast.com, and there you're going to find our show notes, links to all of the resources mentioned. You'll find an application to be on the show. You'll have access to our email, and we can direct you to the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page, because nothing matters more to me than to connect with my listeners. So I hope I can do that starting right now. Ladies and gentlemen, coming back to join us again today is Laura Young, and she has another lesson for us because it's Thursday and that's what we do. We teach you a lesson. Laura, I'd like to welcome you to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, you know we start our show with a quote. Do you have one that you brought to share with us today?
I do have a quote to share with you, and it's all about people-pleasing, and it's anonymous. I'm not sure who first originated it, but it is, "I don't know the key to success, but the key to failure is trying to please everybody."
Okay, and how do you relate to that?
Well, I think the thing is that if you are someone who is trying to please people all of the time, then you are spreading yourself so thin. Your energy, your enthusiasm, your ability to actually do things for yourself is decreased. And if you're always trying to please other people and work for other people's agendas, then your success, your ability to be to achieve what you want in your life is somewhat diminished. And, you know, it's not just because of the time and the energy, but also it can be because of the level of confidence and the level of value that you have for yourself. So to me, I think that whilst it's important that we do please other people, it's part of our DNA, we want people to be happy, we need to look at situations perhaps where we are overcompensating, over-delivering on people-pleasing at our own expense.
Which is exactly why I have you here to speak with my listeners today. Because today is Thursday, and on Thursdays we teach a lesson. And what is Laura's lesson? Her lesson is to teach you all how to kick the people-pleasing habit. Because Laura, as we discussed, my audience can't discover or rediscover or incorporate any kind of passion into their lives if they're so busy giving all of their energy away and not saving enough for themselves.
Absolutely, 100%. I spoke to over 100 people, conducted a survey about people-pleasing. I put it out there and said, are you a people-pleaser? And how does it impact your life? And I think, you know, on one hand, people-pleasing is great because it's part of our DNA. As I said, we want people to be happy. And fundamentally, most of us have been taught to be nice to other people. And so, you know, there's the plus side of people-pleasing. But what I also discovered in talking to these people was that because people-pleasing involves sacrificing time, energy, and often a sense of self, you know, you're unable to say no to others, you might feel guilty, all these negative emotions start to come in. So you start to resent people who are relying on you and who you're doing things for. You can become bored. And worst of all, you can become such a diluted version of yourself because you're doing things for others all the time, going along with what they want to do, apathy can creep in. You know, when someone says, where do you want to go for dinner? And the person responds, oh, I don't mind, wherever you want to go. We can really dull ourselves down to the extent where we lose sight and we lose feeling of who we are and what we want. And that's where people-pleasing can become an issue, you know, in terms of taking away our time and our energy, but also the way we feel about ourselves too.
Okay, so if you were to simply define people-pleasing, I know you just mentioned what it is, but if you could sum it up in one simple sentence for people to identify with, what would that be?
I think one simple sentence is a little tricky. But it's about saying yes to things when you mean no. It's about doing things that you really don't want to do necessarily, but you do to please others, to go along with others. You don't want to rock the boat. You're afraid of making other people feel bad. You avoid conflict and you want an easy life, so you go along with others. People pleasing stems a lot of the time from a fear of people not liking you if you say no or they don't agree with you. And so I think overall people pleasing is really where you're at a stage where you are so concerned about others and meeting the needs of others that you forget to meet the needs of yourself.
Okay, so why is it important then that people kick that habit?
It's important for people to kick the people-pleasing habit because fundamentally we have one life and it's just so important that we get as much pleasure from it as we can. And ultimately we are responsible for ourselves and ensuring that we have and live these amazing lives. And that's not at the expense of other people. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we need to, you know, say no to everything and everyone and just focus entirely on ourselves because, you know, that's another condition entirely. But kicking the people-pleasing habit frees us up energetically and in terms of time to be able to really find out what we want in life and to pursue it, to go after it and to live an amazing life. Yeah, I mean, that's exactly why I think that it's important to kick it.
I know that there are a lot of people who are suffering from this right now. Mm. A lot of people who will really benefit from the lesson that you're about to teach them. So go ahead, teach us a mini lesson on kicking this people-pleasing habit.
Okay. Right. So I've got 7 steps for you to kick the people-pleasing habit. In my coaching practice, I find that the one question people find the hardest to answer is, what do you want? So if we don't know what we want, it's really difficult to express that for other people. If we don't know what we want, it's really difficult for us to be able to get what we want in life. So my very first tip is to get clarity about what you want. Knowing what you want is absolutely key to shaping your decisions and the actions that you take every day to move you close to your goals. And once you know what you want, you can set the priorities to get what you want. And from there, every decision you make can be based on the answer to the question, will doing this move me closer to or further away from my goals? In the movie Runaway Bride, I don't know if anyone's seen it, Julia Roberts keeps running away at the altar and Richard Gere's a reporter who goes down to interview her. And in the course of getting to know Julia's character, he discovers that every time she's with a man, she tends to like her eggs cooked in the morning exactly the way he does. So he challenges her to discover, how do you like your eggs? And there's a scene where she tastes all different types, you know, fried eggs, boiled eggs, poached eggs, scrambled eggs, omelets, in order to discover that. And so for me, that's a great analogy about what you need to do to kick the people-pleasing habit. Now, getting clarity about what you want in life is about sitting down and asking yourself the question, what do I want? And there are several areas that you can focus on, and it's easier if you break it down into different life areas. I use something called the Wheel of Life, and that includes 6 key facets of life. They are lifestyle, our work, our finances, love and relationships, health and well-being, and self-development. Just run a 7-day clarity challenge in my Facebook group, and there were a number of activities that people undertook to get clear. Fundamentally, though, if you want to get clear about what you want in life, you need to answer the question, what do I want? And part of that is understanding what makes you happy. So what do you enjoy doing? It's also about thinking about what things that other people are doing that you admire. And it's about getting out there and trying different things. Sometimes we don't know in life what we want until we experience it. So an activity that you can do is to start picking every week an activity to go out and try, do something new. And then through that, start to really refine what it is that you want in your life. I've got a 5-day Clarity e-course, which is a free e-course over on my website, and I welcome you to participate in that. Lots of great tools and resources as well. The second thing about kicking the habit is to listen to your thoughts and feelings and make friends with your intuition. So when you're asked a question about what do you want to do at the weekend or would you like to do X, tune in to how you feel, your emotional response, and also tune into that little voice in your head. You know, is your little voice saying, yeah, I want to do that, or no, I can't think of anything worse? You know, it's important to really pay attention to what you want, because if you're used to going along with what other people want, you're not used to saying where you'd like to go for dinner or what film you'd like to see, then that's about building a new muscle where you're practicing doing all those things. So, and sometimes apathy can arise, you know, because you're so used to saying, oh, well, let's just see what you fancy, then you really don't know. So the important thing is to give yourself options. Would I rather do this or that? And just tune into the response, because physiologically in our body, our feelings, emotions, you know the answer, as well as that little voice in your head. Practice having a response. And if people are so used to you saying whatever you'd like to do as your response, then surprise them, you know, give them a bit of a surprise by saying, look, I'd really like to have Japanese for dinner and go and see the latest Matt Damon film. Start to make decisions and choices. The next thing is to set boundaries for yourself and respect the boundaries of other people. Now, setting boundaries can be quite difficult if you're out of practice or if your boundaries are blurred. You know, boundaries are important because they represent our love for ourselves. You know, love yourself enough to set boundaries because your time and energy are precious. And the reality is that you get to choose how to use your time and energy. You know, if someone's bought a new gazebo and they want your help to put it up on the weekend, you get to decide whether or not you're going to use your time to do that. If you're the person who everyone goes to all the time, every time they've got a problem, that may feel good to you. You may enjoy being the go-to person. But the reality is that you're teaching people how to treat you by teaching them what is and isn't okay. And the reality is you cannot be everything to everyone. So in terms of setting boundaries, and if this is new for you, start to put boundaries around your time. So if a friend says to you, can you come and help me put my gazebo up on the weekend? You can go back and say, look, sure, I'm happy to help. I can do it between 10 and 12. Or you can say, I've got other plans. Or if your friend rings and wants to have a long rambling chat about how unhappy she is with one aspect of her life, you can say, look, I'm really happy to talk to you about this, but I'm right in the middle of something right now and I'll call you back. Start to, as an exercise, try on words and phrases that help you set the boundaries, okay? And you can prepare yourself in advance, because a lot of us have people in our lives who do take more of our time and energy than others. So practice writing down, and it may sound silly, but if you practice writing down what you're going to say and almost create a script for yourself, you'll grow in confidence about setting those boundaries. The next thing is that we need to approve and love of ourselves first. And in terms of developing our confidence and our self-esteem, it's really important that we do love ourselves, because part of people pleasing can be that we want others' approval, that we get our faith and love for ourselves because other people are telling and showing us how much they love us. And it's really important that we also build our inner love for ourselves as well, because the reality is that if you can do all you can to love and approve of yourself, then no person, obstacle, or situation is going to be able to control how you feel about yourself, because you know that you are valuable and wonderful. You know, if someone says no to you, or someone, you have an argument with someone, or there is conflict, you love yourself enough to know that you're a valuable, wonderful person. Now, the key, another key here too is that you to remember that you won't be liked by everyone, and you will not like everybody either. And if you start the exercise around loving yourself, you will start to attract more and more loving relationships into your life. And that's the beauty of it. And my exercise around loving yourself is to write a love letter to yourself. Okay. Take out some really nice paper and a pen, or you can do it on your computer. Write down 10 qualities you love about you. 10 things that you really think are amazing about yourself. So just take the time to do that exercise, because when you love yourself, you're not going to require the approval of other people so much. The next thing is learning to say no, and learning to say no with elegance, firmness, and grace. Now, once you're clear about what you want and you've got those boundaries in place and you love yourself enough to say to someone, look, I'm really busy this weekend, I can help you on another day. But once you're clear about what you want, you know what your priorities are. And so you're able to actually say no in a way that supports your achievement of your own priorities, your own time and your own energy. Now, sometimes when we say yes to other people, we're actually saying no to ourselves. Because we say yes to go and spend a couple of hours building a gazebo, we're actually taking away from some time that we could be spending with our family or having a lovely bubble bath or going for a walk in nature. So it's always a trade-off. Time and energy, there's always a trade-off because it's a depleting bank, you know. There's limited time. And we do have, or we can have, limited energy. We need to re-energize by sleeping every night. So make sure that when you say yes to other people, you're not saying no to yourself. My key tip here as well is that no is a complete sentence. People pleasers will often say no and then go into a lot of explanation and almost talk themselves out of the no in the first place. So just remember that you don't need to apologize for saying no or over-explain it or justify it. No is a complete sentence. Another tip is to use stall tactics if needed. So you can say, look, I just need to check my diary, or can I just check with my partner, or whatever it might be, just to give you time to frame and work out how you're going to say no to that person. Now, remember that people won't fall apart if you do say no. The amazing thing is that I bet you've got friends and family who say no to you all the time about various things, and you don't think anything less of them, you don't love them any less, but actually you might in fact respect them more because they do have those boundaries. So just remember that, you know, you're not in control of other people's emotions, and the reality is that they will not fall apart if you do say no. My exercise for you around saying no is to say no to 3 things that you don't want to do, be, or have each day this next week. Now, you can start simple. So it might be about going for a coffee or going to an event at the weekend, but just start practicing building that muscle around saying no to things that you don't want to do. Now, another key thing about kicking the people-pleasing habit is that we can tend to feel a bit guilty because we're so used to saying yes to people all the time and to doing things for them when they request us to, that guilt can come. Now, he'll sidle up to you and say, oh, you shouldn't have done that, or gee, that wasn't very nice. And he'll hit you in the stomach with that churning feeling and thoughts of regret and self-doubt that grow and linger. I think we all, most of us anyway, have experienced guilt at one time or another, and as a people pleaser, that tendency is increased, okay? And guilt will come and try and knock you out of this path of kicking the habit. What you need to do is say to him, thank you very much, I'm in charge now and you're not wanted here, and just watch guilt go. Now, he may take a while to leave. He's been hanging around for a long time. So imagine how relieved you'll feel when you have the power to take action and make decisions without him around, because we don't really need guilt as an emotion in our lives. And it was one of the key emotions, the key negative emotions that people that I talked to about people-pleasing said that they felt guilty if they said no. Now, the final tip for you is to build a community of people around you who value, love, and respect you. Now, as a recovering people pleaser, you may recognize that there are one or two people in your life who bring out the best or worst in your people pleasing tendencies. So it may be the friend that always calls at odd times, like when you're cooking dinner or when you're putting the children to bed or whatever it might be, and asks for your time. And they're drainers. You know, these people can drain our time and energy. So really take the time to look at these relationships and reassess them. Is there a balance in the relationships that you have in your lives in terms of give and take? Or do you always have the give attack hat on? Now, are there people who you're always giving to and then you're not getting much back in terms of, you know, energy, time, emotion in return? Make a list. Now, I'm not saying you need to cut these people out of your life, but this may be a great place for you to start in terms of practicing some of the skills in terms of setting boundaries, saying no, and then take action. You know, use some of those stall tactics. I'm really sorry, I can't talk to you at the moment. How about we have a chat tomorrow? I'll give you a ring tomorrow. The key in all of this is getting clarity about what you want, tuning into your thoughts and feelings, loving yourself, learning to say no, respecting your boundaries, showing guilt the door, and making the decision to surround yourself with people who want your happiness too. It's really important. Now, these seven steps are all about building a new muscle, okay? And it does take practice. So the key is really to take some daily actions around making sure that you do know your purpose. So what do you want? What do you want to spend your time and energy on? Building your confidence in terms of being able to say no and set boundaries. Create your community of people who really love and appreciate you. And then also remember that sometimes things don't go as planned. So be adaptable. Be able to recognize that sometimes you might slip and you might give more time and energy than you've negotiated and contracted with yourself to, and that's okay. And remember that being a people pleaser is a lovely thing. It's only when it is detracting from your time and energy to live the amazing life that you deserve. And that's my lesson for today.
Excellent lesson. So many great points, excellent information, a lot for listeners to take in. And, you know, just so listeners know, I will be typing the show notes up and you'll be able to look at Lara's information through my website at show notes. But did you say also, Lara, that you have an e-course?
I do. I've got a free e-course. It's called Clarity One-on-One, 5 days to get clarity about what you want in life. It's a 5-day e-course delivered direct to your inbox. It's free and there'll be contact details as to how to register for that in the notes for the program.
Lara, you said a couple things that I really found interesting because I feel like I used to be more of a people pleaser than I am now. And it was a battle because I just felt like it was sucking me dry, you know? And so I had to do some things about it. And one of the things I did was look around at the other people around me who weren't people pleasers and how they handled situations and then how other people reacted to them. So let's say a family member where I would always feel obligated to do certain things, another family member would just say, no, they're not doing that. Mm. What really struck me was how nobody had a problem with the fact that this person said, no, they don't want to do it. They're not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, why am I exhausting myself over this? You know, and this is just so true with friends and family. And I found, just like you said, that that person ended up getting more respect because they put their foot down and they drew those lines.
Mm. Absolutely. And that's, you know, and that's the irony of it. You know, we spend so long worrying about what other people will think about us if we say no, if we don't go along. And the reality is that we're actually impacting negatively on boundaries and the respect other people have for us by being a doormat, I guess, you know, and by being the one that everyone goes to when they've got a problem or when they need help. or being the person that says, you know, that people say, oh, Lynette won't mind, she'll just be happy to go along with what we decide, you know. And it is amazing. And it's also, you know, if you think about people that you that have said no to you in the past, you don't really resent them or anything for it. You respect them for it. And it's absolutely a great example that you've given. And I think a lot of what we do to ourselves, we do in our own minds. We create these scenarios of people no longer approving of us or loving us or what have you. And it's all fiction, you know. It's just a made-up story that we tell ourselves. So as people start to practice these tips and put them into place in their lives, we really notice a distinct difference in how people react and respond and how much more they're interested in and value your opinion. First time that you say, look, no, I quite fancy Japanese tonight and I'd like to go and see the film with Matt Damon, someone might fall off their chair because you've actually said what you want. Gradually, they'll get used to it.
Right. And I love how you said that no is a complete sentence. And that's it. That's all you have to say. For example, and I mean, not if you're making plans with somebody, obviously, but if somebody wants you to do something, you know, I have literally done that. Just no. And they look, they look at you like, what? And I'm like, no, what? I'm not doing that. And they're like, okay. And that's it. The conversation is over. You know, you can just say, nah. And people get it. And you know what? Everybody's just so afraid. What is there to be afraid of? And trust me when I tell you, I will go above and beyond. I do it on a million occasions when I want to. There has to be a line.
Yes. Yeah. There does have to be a line. Otherwise, you do become, you know, the doormat, the one whose opinions aren't considered. And that's where setting boundaries for yourself come in because, you know, everything's a sacrifice. Everything you say yes to, you're saying no to something else. So when you say yes to go and help a friend move, you're saying no to spending time with your family or to going to that salsa class or whatever it might be. You know, time and energy, it's always in balance. And so you have limited amounts of both each day and it's your decision and it's your right to choose. Fundamentally, it's you. You are in charge of you, right? You're the CEO of you. You know, you have the right to choose. And if helping other people gives you a lot of joy and a lot of pleasure and you don't resent it and you don't feel guilty and you don't get angry about the fact that you've helped them five times and they haven't helped you at all, do that because that makes you happy. Fantastic. It's only when you start to experience the negative emotions associated with people-pleasing that you need to stop, take pause and learn the strategies for getting yourself back and getting your own time and energy back.
Something else that you said that totally resonated with me, though, because people are afraid people aren't going to like them anymore if they don't do this or they don't do that. You know, they just care so much about what other people think about them. I think for me, there was a period of time, not that I cared if they were my friend or not, but I just didn't want them to dislike me for whatever reason. However, I made this profound discovery in my life when I was probably in my 30s that you just said, which was I realized, why would I expect everybody to like me when I don't like everybody?
Yeah. And that's so important too. You know, we don't like everyone. We don't have time to like everyone, you know. And I think the problem can stem as well from social media where people are on Facebook all the time and how many friends has so-and-so got. It's interesting because, you know, if you look at all the friends that people have, how many people do they actually really, you know, spend time with on a daily basis or spend time with on a regular basis even? You know, the amount of your people within your social circle who you have physical contact with, i.e. you're in the same space as them doing something together, is not generally that big. And if you're always worried about what other people think about you, then you're going to be so confined and constrained in the way that you live your life that it's just crippling. And the reality is that people don't think about us. You know, everyone's concerned with whatever people think. And it's not something, I mean, think about how.
No, because they're too concerned thinking about themselves. They're not thinking about us.
Exactly. And And you know what? That is the human condition. We think about ourselves. That's how life is. And I'm not saying that in a negative way. You know, we've got to mind our own business. We've got to be in charge of ourselves, in charge of, you know, how much we love ourselves and getting out there and exploring the world and living out amazing lives. You know, that's our business. It's not anyone else's business in that sense. Sure, we have families and friends and we love being with other people in the main, you know, if you're really introverted, there's still that element of, you know, spending time and interacting with other people. But at the end of the day, you don't sit there thinking, I wonder what so-and-so is doing and I wonder what so-and-so is doing. You know, it just doesn't happen. And unless you're an extreme people pleaser and everything that you do is to support someone else's agenda, then really every decision that you make should be moving you closer to what you want in life.
Like you said, though, this needs to be done in steps and it needs it, and it takes time to really get good at this because the idea of this could be giving some people anxiety right now. You don't know my mother. You know, you don't know my best friend. Well, you know what? Put your foot down and find out, because otherwise you'll live the rest of your life trying to please people that will never be happy.
Exactly. And the thing is, you do start small.
Okay. So I would like to give my listeners some resources where they can continue this kind of research. And I know your e-course is a really good place for them to stop in. It's a free course. They should check that out. What is the address for that?
Okay. So the e-course will be at designyourfabulousfuture.com. And the best place actually to come along to is my Facebook group, because there's other resources in there as well. So that's the Life Design Mastermind, and that's a Facebook group.
Okay. Is there a book that you would also recommend to listeners?
I would recommend, it's a Louise Hay book. I just love I love Louise Hay. And it's called The Power is Within You. And The Power is Within You really looks at, in depth, the philosophies of loving yourself, because I think loving yourself first and foremost is one of the key things that you need to do in order to kick the people-pleasing habit. And she also talks about learning to trust the inner voice, how to love the child within, how to let our true feelings out. Okay, so if we're afraid to express ourselves, which a lot of people-pleasers can be, how to actually express our feelings in a way that people will respond positively to, and also how to express creativity. So I'd recommend that book as a starting point for people, most definitely.
Okay, that sounds like a really good one. I have heard of that before for sure. This part of the show is our Express to Success quick 60-second responses, but I believe this is how we get listeners moving. So I believe in order to make change, you need to first envision this for yourself, then explore it, and then execute a plan. How can listeners envision kicking the people-pleasing habit? What would it look like or feel like for them?
So when your listeners kick the people-pleasing habit, they'll wake up in the morning with a really clear sense of purpose of how they want to spend their day, who they want to spend their day with, what they want to be doing. They'll wake up, they'll have their favorite beverage. They won't say to someone else, what do you feel like for breakfast? They'll actually make a decision and have what they want for breakfast. Then they'll have planned out their day, so they'll know that they're going to go and spend some time at work perhaps, or they might spend some time exercising, and that they know with confidence that when someone comes up to them and says, do you fancy doing this at the weekend? They know that they've got a choice. They can listen to how they feel, what the voice is saying inside their head, whether they want to do it or not, and they can respond appropriately. They get a phone call from their mother saying, you know, can you come and help me with the curtains? And they're able to manage that easily and effortlessly, the response, and able to put boundaries around it for themselves.
Okay, so they can see themselves basically having more time to themselves to live their lives the way they want to live it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So how should they explore then?
I think the very first thing they should do to explore is to get clear about what they want. I can't emphasize the importance of clarity enough. And even if that's about creating a vision board, you know, looking at thinking about what do you want in every area of your life and then create a vision board. So it's a great visual representation of what they want to do, be, and have in their lives.
Okay, so then to execute, what would the first step be?
First step is definitely get clarity about what you want. Ask yourselves the question, tune into how you feel about different areas of your life. Absolutely 100% spend time getting to know who you are, what you want in every area of your life.
And also, I think the go-do that we're going to add to the end of the show, which was the action step that you recommended earlier, I think that's an excellent go-do for the end of the show. So that's a great way to move in that direction that you're referring to. What kind of closing advice would you give everybody?
Closing advice would be, it's okay to please people. You know, don't beat yourself up if you've been listening and you think, oh my gosh, I'm a chronic people pleaser. And don't feel like you can't please people either. My closing advice is, the most important person in your life is you. And in order to celebrate who you are, you need to find out what you want. And then everything from there will flow easily. Your decisions, how you spend your time and your energy will become so much clearer for you.
Okay, so your contact information, your email address is Lara, L-A-R-A, at designyourfabulousfuture.com.
That's right.
Your website is designyourfabulousfuture.com.
Absolutely.
We're going to have your e-course link information in the show notes, and your Facebook group name is
Life Design Mastermind.
Okay. And of course, you're going to be a part of Motivate Me Ultimate Support System, so people can get in touch with you there as well. I want to thank you so much for coming on our show and sharing all of this really super valuable information, Lara.
My pleasure.
Do me a favor. This is the part of our show where we give everybody a go-do. So tell them, what should they go do right now to kick this people-pleasing habit?
Go and say no to something that you don't want to do.
I love it. That's excellent. Start today, everybody. That's the end of our show. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda.